Your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from Celebrate.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany, as well as the first internet radio station 24/7 dedicated to startups and tech companies. If you haven't done already so, make sure to like and subscribe and comment down here wherever you're listening to this or watching this. Today I have three guests here, and we'll take a little review of the Rhine-Main region. For everybody who doesn't know that, that is more or less the area around Frankfurt, spreading into three different states. Hessen, the state we are living in Frankfurt. Then there's a little bit Rhineland-Palatine, Rheinland-Pfalz with the city of Mainz. And down there, there's even part of Bavaria. Guys, I would like to welcome you here. Let's start first with the one nobody has heard about on my podcast yet, at least in person. Hey, Christian, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing really good. Thank you very much.
Welcome. Can you tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure, yeah. So I work as a copywriter and WordPress developer. And in the startup scene, I was and I am active since 1.5 to 2 years with my podcast. It's called the Connecting Dots podcast. And for my podcast, I connect the dots in the stories of the founders. So I reflect with them on the founder's journey, talk about their lessons, their highs, their ups and downs. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
And there is Mario.
Hi, I'm Mario. I'm the CTO of Fastbill, in the area of Frankfurt, active since, 2011 or so. Have been involved in multiple startups since then. And, I'm happy to join this podcast to talk about what happened in 2020, because there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yes. Plus, there is, as many people may already know, Pedro, who's not only our community manager here at Celebrate.io, but also the founder of the startup blog Frankfurt Valley. Hey, Pedro, welcome.
Hi, everyone. So it's nice to be back. The last interview that I made was some weeks ago, because I'm a founder of a startup called Experience Plus. If you haven't seen it, please go there on our library and check this interview with Joe. But apart from a founder, I've been, building ecosystems and working with different startups here in the region. I'm sitting here, and today I want to talk about some of the milestones and the top read articles that we had at Frankfurt Valley. So let's get ready.
And for everybody who's listening to this, who is or watching this, down here in the show notes, there will be a link to our blog post, and we have all the pieces of news and articles and links down there. So you don't need to understand German and English just by listening or watching us. Guys, just make it a little bit open here. What would be your key takeaways from, let's say, 2020 plus a little bit the first quarter of 2021, except for we're glad it's over?
So I would say the Clark funding round was a huge one. The maybe, and also one of the most recent ones, I guess, right? It happened in January. I happened to interview Marco Adelt. And I think Joe also, you talked to Christopher Oster, right?
Yes, talked second time to the CEO, yeah.
Yeah. So my biggest highlight would be Clark's funding round. And it's interesting that a Chinese investor had he was not the only one, but had the majority stake, the majority investment, I guess. That, and I think we have quite a lot of cool online video formats from the Startup Safari and Tech Quartier. So we have a lot of video content from various podcasts. So I think we besides the funding rounds, we also had quite a lot to see and hear. And I'm sure it helps the ecosystem a lot to be more on display online and reach a wider audience when we get more content out.
Okay, if I may, adding on, Clark, that it's a big flagship, let's call it. There is a second one that I would highlight, Wincopter, obviously, that, yeah, just raised 22 million recently this first quarter of the year. But all in all, I think there is a study from the that is called Essen Startup Monitor that highlights that maybe in terms of rounds and business angel activity, the region had a very good performance. I think what we have been lacking, it's really access to venture capital. And although we highlighted Clark and Wincopter, maybe these are just two small examples. So we need more cases like these ones. And this is highlighted in the Essen Startup Monitor, the lack of venture capital in the region. Hopefully we can change it through the year. And that would be one of my takeaways.
My main takeaway from 2020, like, you know, talking on a certain, maybe on a different level to startup founders, to also to Christopher and so on, this 2020, from a founder's perspective, was one where you get lots of validation from your autonomy sense. You know, there were lots of founders that I know that have relied largely on big customers or largely on customers that or governmental customers or or customers that were institutional, and there were these companies ran into a lot of troubles in the second uncertain time started. So if you look at the startups that actually succeeded from an turnover standpoint and succeeded from actually business operations, were actually those that had a large following of customers, that had let's say a product that was developed in a very progressive manner, that wasn't looking too tightly into compliance and regulations and so on. Simply put, because at the time uncertainty started, those large institutions became unreliable partners, and that is something that is something that most founders like in their have in their gut feeling when they run their company, simply because I want to be on my own. I do my own stuff is one of the key mantras as a founder. And well, having the government basically not doing proper support for the for the SMEs, having the government fail in many, many respects is something where many entrepreneurs stepped in. If you look at the restaurant, the business that was started around trying to help with restaurant coupon payments and so on, there were a lot of very good initiatives I saw from the startup scene this year. Obviously, some grifters as well. You can't keep them off, but still, there was something that was kind of the most negative aspect, that you couldn't rely on the large institutions, but you could rely on like the actual people on the ground. And it was something that I found really positive.
Indeed, the way that startups got involved in trying to find solutions for the bigger issues with COVID, not only really health solutions, but all in all for social, for all the business fields, was great. So me as a founder, I took part of the U versus virus, but there was a version as well in Germany. And the amount of startups, founders that got involved, the amount of solutions that were put in practice in such a short amount of time, I think it showed how our ecosystem can create really tangible and quick value to the humanity. And that is a good sign, or the good side of the coin.
Personally, for me, two of the highlights have been more a little bit on the less well-known side. One of them was Evoca. They are actually a Linux startup headquartered in London, but they decided for Frankfurt as their Germany base, and they raised for this one 100 million euros to hand it out as credit, as a venture debt, as a credit lines, and so on and so forth. That was very interesting for me, as well as Solactive. They are in the field of index providers. Think S&P, Dow Jones, stocks, and so on. And basically, those guys have been more or less a financial institution, financial service provider, technical service provider, however you want to call it. And they reinvented themselves as a fintech and raised 50 million. Of course, you'll find both links down here. And that, especially of Solactive, was something very encouraging for me, because I do see a lot of potential of a little bit more established companies reinventing themselves as startups, maybe even in the process becoming a little bit more dynamic. Also, admittedly, together with Mario and Paul, we are running Rheinmind VC, and I've been tracking the VC funding rounds here in the greater Rheinmind area, which we define as approximately 1 hour away by car from Frankfurt. It's a little bit smaller than the definition of Silicon Valley, but nonetheless, it's a pretty broad one for Germany. And of course, we do this driving outside the rush hour, because in rush hour, you don't get out of the Frankfurt city limits. And
you don't get out of San Francisco either.
So. Yeah, right. Totally right. Basically, that's the definition we had. And the startups, companies, the tech companies in there raised more than $1 billion, which is a little bit below 1 billion euros due to the exchange rate. And the biggest driver was bio and tech. And without them, without the funding of the vaccine, which they co-developed together with Pfizer, we would have taken a real dive in terms of funding for the Rhein-Main area. Did any of you guys know of any like VC rounds, without mentioning the startup, that got busted, that didn't go through, or that got smaller due to Corona?
I did hear of one funding round that just got pushed into the future. So, because that founder, that I will not mention by name, he said that in 2020 things were too unstable, so he didn't want to do the funding round in 2020. But they're working on it now, and I could imagine in the next months you will hear about it.
I deduce from your saying that they did not need the funding round, fortunately.
Not really, but it was on the agenda for 2020, actually. But like so many things, it got pushed into the future.
Yeah, like the same with me. Like from the chatter that I've been picking up, you have lots of postponement, but also valuation changes wildly in both directions. Like you saw, there were in those discussions, like people say, "Hey, I could like get 1.5x to 3x of the valuation I had before Corona," simply because they were doing online first, digital first kind of business, and that was just enough compared to other stuff. But in general, many people are trying just to stretch their cash flow, to get the runway longer. It's one of the that's one of the things where basically the government incentives of having I'm not sure what the English term is, Kurzarbeit, where that was actually used by multiple startups that I know to stretch their runway a little bit further. That's, I think, par for the course. The question is just, will we see that, you know, same with the SME and business, small businesses, will we see then a spike in picking up in deal flow picking up, or will it just remain the same and you have just this invisible glut of startups that just never had, you know, the pace picking up? Because during the pandemic, like, I've heard lots of rumors, hey, I'm starting something new during the pandemic. So a lot of people were listening to the advice of, who was it? I think Andreessen Horowitz, who basically said that a crisis is always the best time to start a company. And so that is something that I've, like, in my circles, I heard a lot. There's, like, I don't know, four CEOs I know, CEOs or CXOs who left companies to start something on their own personally. And I'm very interested in looking at what's coming out of this, because if you don't have any kids, this is a very zen kind of way of thinking about your business. Like, putting this big asterisk behind that. I'm really, like, parents out there, I feel you.
Indeed, Mario, I can relate to that a lot. So it's not the easiest time to start your own startup when you have kids full time at your place. And in my case, I have four, so it's been very hard. But I relate a lot to what you're saying. And indeed, that, for example, Founders Institute, we work with the very early stage founders. And Adeo Resi, our CEO, always says that it's the best time to start startups. It's now. But it's, unfortunately, it's very hard. It's been very hard with the founders that we have been work with. It's very hard to motivate them to keep moving forward. The uncertainty, although some people like to see uncertainty and changes as a good way to find solutions, for some others, it's hard to cope with that. From the investor perspective, the amount of money that is sitting around is huge. So investors want to invest. They stopped somehow because what they have been asking to, sometimes they are not getting the right answers because founders cannot give the answers that they want. So my prediction is that the investments for the upcoming quarters will increase, hopefully. But I relate to a lot what you said, Mario.
I really burst out laughing when he said it's really a zen time for everybody without children.
Yes.
Many people may already know that I have a son, and actually he's a very active guy. The kindergarten teacher just said he's now there for 2 months, so she has to retire 2 years earlier. so he's a very active guy, and basically, as Pedro says, you really feel the difference when you have him at home for quite some time. I would also like to add what I just wrote down. Kurzarbeit is a government-backed scheme where they take over a little part of the salary of an employee, so he can stay on the payroll, but not for 100% of the costs. So companies get to keep the people on the payroll instead of just firing them. Many people who are frequent listeners to StartupRate.io will already know this. And talking about Mario's term as again, I do believe there will be spike. It will either be a spike in investment, it will be a spike in mergers and acquisition, or it will be a spike in insolvencies. I actually hope for the first and fear the last, but the truth will be most likely somewhere in the middle, I do believe.
To be honest, I think all of those will happen at the very same time. No, like, honestly, the if I just, from the talks I've had, you've just have a large group of corona winners, just people who get better valuations, people who are more adapted to this kind of working. You know, with our company, like, we've been one of the first bigger SaaS companies in Germany. It just works. Like, our whole company was, like, remote first for, like, the past 4 years from their setup. Obviously, we had an office, we do things, but still, our companies were, I would push us in the winners bucket. But if I look at the other companies and the discussions I've had, there is a stake of people who simply had no opportunity to make much turnover. Their opportunities they've tried, have, like, they had to iterate and pivot in a crazy amount of time, didn't work out that well. Their partners crapped on them, like, lots of those stories as well. And then you also have the stories where the numbers change just as much to push them into an M&A territory where it just makes sense, or where the deal making, raising capital just makes sense now, where it didn't before and probably wouldn't in 6 years. So I think you will see, like, especially also, there's also this, I don't know if you would agree, Pedro, but from my feeling, there is a cyclical development around startups. And right now, like the past, I don't know, 12 months, the next 12 months is right now the end of a 7-year period for lots of startups, where you see now, like, lots of the founders that I've, like, let's say, grown up within the startup community are now in their first exit or have just done their first exit, are in their M&A talks, these kinds of things. So lots of companies are in the process of growing up. Now, they would have also without Corona, but like I said, the shifting of the numbers, the slightly shifting of the numbers, the devaluation of money, the higher valuation of tech companies in general pushes everything towards that a little bit earlier. So it feels like we're going to see lots of exits, lots of insolvencies, and also lots of, well, great turnover win strategies. So I'm really confident it's going to happen all at the same time. And if you then look at the macroeconomical picture of small businesses that are going to have to file for insolvency over the next 6 months, the economy is going to look like a roller coaster. This 2021 is going to, like, the numbers in 2021 are going to be crazy. I'm really looking forward to the 2021 review, just so I'm not the guy having to go through this roller coaster. I want to be at the end of it. It's going to be really interesting.
Yes, I would agree, Mario. And the funny thing was, Mario was talking and Peter and I were nodding, like, totally yes. Synchronized without any agreement. Yeah, totally agree on that. We're already in the 2021 outlook. I think we'll do the review maybe next year again for Easter, if you guys would like to come. And just having a little bit outlook at approximately 1 year. Maya already said lots of mergers, investments, and insolvencies. I really hope the mergers and investments drive the next generation of entrepreneurs, because I found it very interesting, useful, and insightful to kind of track, like, the first wave of entrepreneurs successful in Berlin who made an exit, who made a merger. They then set up their own VC fund, being a business angel, super angel, or something like this. And that's a development I really do expect to take hold in Frankfurt starting, like, until Easter, and will then keep developing, hopefully, because I do believe that that's the right way to go. That's how a startup hub will be actually growing, especially due to lack of support here around from public sources.
Another interesting aspect that I want to bring up, last November, Starlink opened offices in Frankfurt. That is something where it may be overlooked, but having those kinds of players recruit people, pulling them into the area, is something where, hey, I've worked for Starlink for 6 months, like, Elon corporate is not my kind of thing, but still at this point living in the area is attracting high potentials to an area which is very interesting for startups as well. Because as usual, the war for talents in Frankfurt is high in general, because you have these large financial institutions who are paying top dollar for good people. And on the other hand, on the other side, you have startups who are doing very innovative stuff, and now having, like, let's say, the cream of the crop of tech companies trying to hire here, using their strategies to hire here, their kind of salaries will pull the right kind of people here. So I'm always find these nodes noteworthy, because then you get those CVs that include Tesla, Starlink, whatsoever. That's always valuable to have people from that kind of experience in the area.
I have a really devious mind, and I was wondering if you already have posters on the opposite street side of the Starlink exit, Fastbill is hiring, or if you have a headhunter luring around there, Mario.
you have to wait for Elon to burn them down a little bit. Like they have to like the he needs to put their stamp on it. But they just rented the office. The office is opposite of the old Visual West office, like if I remember correct.
At Mainzer Landstraße, yeah.
Yeah. So I drove by there like every day, and our office is like in walking distance. So I should probably do that. So yeah,
we will all be on the lookout. If any of us, like Christian, Pedro, or I, see some Fastbill recruiting posters next to their exit, we'll post about it. Yeah.
Yeah, but I do agree with Mario as well. So on this point, because indeed the startup ecosystem is not only built of the startups itself, also big corporations have a role on this. And I think in 2020, we had a lot of good examples of big international players that settled in our region. And this, as Mario highlighted with Starlink, is a good way to boost the ecosystem, make it more international, to bring more cases, and indeed also diversifies a bit. So because we are known a lot by being a fintech hub and so on, but if we look at the type of companies that came from abroad to the region, we have people from fintech, yes, but we have a lot on logistics, medicine, energy, automotive. So there are so many big corporations coming to the region that I'm also looking forward to see what happens now in 2021, because indeed last year we had a big bunch, a big group of good examples. For example, TikTok was also being discussed to come here to the region. I guess the decision was not taken. But yeah, there were multiple discussions about big corporates that could come here to the region. And let's see if this year we will have some more surprise.
I mean, we managed this far to not talk about BioNTech. I'm kind of happy about that because they are obviously the large elephant in the room. Like company for Mainz saving the world, like should kind of focus on that a little bit because it also highlights a little bit the from this angle of looking at HR and looking at people being sucked into the region, the amount of money that like they gained in the past 12 months is like enormous. You can't like fathom like the billions of euros that were made in the past 12 months by BioNTech. So I personally know people that have been recruited by them, or that I know a couple that came from India to looking for flats around Mainz to work for BioNTech. So they are also like sucking in companies, sucking in people. And they're going to be like, maybe not in the straight up tech space, but in the larger ecosystem, they're going to be present. That's also something I find very, very interesting. Also, as they are not just in Mainz. Like
at the point of recording this on March 23rd, they IPO'd in October 2019, BioNTech at NASDAQ for $13.82. And right now they're trading at $107. That is what Mario referring to. Christian, you've been awfully quiet. What's your take?
My take on what?
Everything, especially the outlook. Pedro has been very good in just touching a little bit that he expects more corporates to show up. He wasn't very specific on his startup forecasts, but I totally do understand that forecasts are always difficult, especially concerning the future.
So I, a personal impression of mine was and is that a lot of founders in Frankfurt in the area do not such a good job at being present online, on sharing work in progress, ideas, thoughts for the future online. And there I feel like a lot of them have like the bare minimum, a LinkedIn profile and a homepage of their startup. And that's fine. You get information by reading about that, but I would like to see if I can formulate it as a wish from the community. I would like to see a bit more content online of them. And I also mean like sharing, retweeting, sharing on LinkedIn, adding some thoughts to articles, to what's happening, you know, a bit more activity that would have the Rhine-Main Valley there, the Frankfurt Valley, to be more on display online.
Actually, Christian, I always love to say Frankfurt has beautiful places. Unfortunately, it's very good in hiding them. The same holds true for good entrepreneurs.
Yeah, so what would be formats or things the founders could do? I think I like these little personal homepages that a ton of founders from the US, from the UK have, where you just have a little bio, ways how to get in touch with them, and then maybe some links to blog articles or where they have been on podcasts.
Yeah, blogs, activities, social media, everything. Mario?
Like, honestly, I think this is kind of coming, but we are the opposite of Berlin. So in Berlin, if you have like a non-successful Android app in the store, you have like this long CV blog post page. You move to Frankfurt to escape those people. So lots of founders that I've talked to over the years, like I remember having a discussion with the founder of BuyVIP and Pippa and Jean now. He basically said that like if I want to go to a startup event every night, and if I want to present myself to the public and so on, I move to Berlin, because then I can not work and just be exist as a startup person. And like striking a good balance between those two is extremely hard. And for people who just want to work and just laser focus on getting their stuff done, Frankfurt is just a very like productive place to be. Meaning that if you are attracted to Frankfurt, you are most likely of the kind of person who aren't very good with this personal branding stuff. But it's coming. Like there's people like Marina, who's like coaching startup founders with regards to personal branding. And there's some people.
Marina
Zeitz. Yeah, she's amazing at that. She wrote a book on the topic. Our CEO has it on his desk. So I know it's a topic. I know we need to get this done in a better way. It's just that from the pre-selection of founders that you have to work with here, you work with founders who are kind of trying to work to not work another 2 hours a day just on their personal profile. But we should definitely get there, because it's, as I understand, as I see it as well, it is important not only for like newsy tidbits, but it's important as a lighthouse tower. It's important to like as a North Star for other people who start at the beginning of at the edges of the ecosystem, who need to know that there's people like in walking distance that have the experience of multiple exit rounds, have the experience of an IPOing a company, and so all of things that are in this area. Like you have you have people from the 360T still in the area who technically are reachable. So there's lots of experience in the area. Jörn says, it's just hidden very well.
Plus, there's lots of money, and unfortunately, that is not going into the right direction, meaning the startups or the startup media, because I do believe if the region would have invested in like a cohesive strategy, something like a Hamburg startups, Munich startups are doing, they would be much further ahead. But unfortunately, I don't see anything going in this directive. But Christian, sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily mean a cohesive, well-thought-out personal brand, but just a little more information online would be a good and easy first step. It's easier than ever to share and to be more on display online. But I know what you're saying, Mario. I agree.
I also agree with you, Christian, on that. And I would, if I would give 2 cents on the topic, would be to also do it not only in German, but in English as well. Because when you, a person like me that has contacts in multiple hubs, normally people don't know what it's happening about our region. So why? Normally I tell them, well, there is a lot happening. I always tend either to address them to Frankfurt Valley or to Startup Radio, obviously. But I would be extremely happy that more the founders would start having their own content generated as well in English, because then the international investors, the international media, the international consumer can get aware of really the potential and what's happening, the success stories and so on. Because if we only do it in German, sometimes only the DACH region will be able to understand it. So yeah, my two cents on what you just said.
Yes, totally agree. Plus, you also... but you then have another problem, because the German speaking sources, they're usually quoted, they're usually used in the German startup media. But if you're an English source like me, you get reach outs from all the public broadcasters, you get reach out from like Financial Times or something like this, but never any like local or region newspaper even reached out to me, even though a few mailed out directly to me, and one of them even mentioned us on Twitter that we helped him to understand the business model of a very complex startup from the area around here. So I do believe there are issues on all sides, and we cannot solve them, we just can highlight them here. Guys, we are running very short. I only have 4 minutes left in your valuable time that I scheduled for me and the review. Do you have some final thoughts, closing words, inspiration, something like this? Please feel free to go ahead. Christian, you're the last one to speak. You want to start at the beginning?
In the beginning, I was the first one to speak. So I think this would be my ask, or my, let's call it inspiration, for people in the area, also just people interested in the startup ecosystem. Go online, reach out to people, write online, share your thoughts, and get in contact. We have really great opportunities online, and it's easier than ever to reach out to people. So do that. Be active online.
So I think my closing words would be that what I've referred to earlier, that if you're feeling hopeless, that, I don't know, your startup doesn't work or something, try to find hope inside. Don't look for hope outside. Don't look for support elsewhere. It's like everything you need to succeed in your business is like right where you're sitting. You just need a computer. And don't like delude yourself into thinking that there's going to be some keystone customer or some, I don't know, institutional operator that's going to fix your business problems, send you the money that you need, and so on. 2020 and 2021 is a wake-up call for everyone to be a little bit more self-sufficient, to look into look for them to themselves when it comes for support. And that is something where... I think we can all learn and become more resilient in the future. Yeah, that is something. It might sound a little bit dark, but I'm actually happy about this happening the way it does. It could have been less soft for certain people. So I'm really happy about the way we're positioned as an area, as a digital hub. And you see that with companies like Starlink moving to us.
Pedro, closing words.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to make two highlights. One is related to the topic that I mentioned in the beginning, the access to venture capital. So there was indeed already in this quarter very good news. I think the announcement of the SCN Regio Growth Fund from Futury, that indeed has a total of 60 million. It's based off multiple corporates that are putting money into the basket, from Deutsche Börse to Fresenius, Merck, Deutsche Bank, and so on, Mynova, and many more. I think these funds ultimately can bring some good example of how investment in the future could bring more startups and projects to the region. I'm really curious to see in which companies they will invest. So they invested already in Wincopter, but I'm looking forward to see which projects they will invest further ahead. But to link to the discussion and the point that Mario also said about the COVID and the resilience, I really think that this is the year where we could see more and more impact and sustainability projects coming up. So projects that really address the SDGs. And I think we are forced to do it. So I'm really looking forward to see all the different initiatives that we have that are pushing this. And we have many examples in our region, but as well internationally. And I think that I believe that with changes, there are a lot of chances. So I'm really positive that we will have some in 1 year or maybe two, we will have a good review out of this conversation that we had right now. So hopefully I'm positive that there will be some more winners out of this this phase, this crisis.
Awesome. Great closing words. We'd like to end on a high note here at StartupRate.io, and Pedro did this very well. Guys, thank you very much for being here. It was a pleasure having you. Thank you very much. Auf Wiedersehen.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Goodbye. Ciao.
Auf Wiedersehen.
If you are a professional looking at the European startup scene, Germany is a place you cannot miss. Fortunately for you, there is StartupRad.io, the authority on German startups. This English-only podcast brings you fresh interviews each week. Most likely, you have never heard or read anything on these startups before in English, but you will in the future. Be ahead of the curve and subscribe to StartupRad.io podcast, or check for the StartupRad.io internet radio station. Check your Alexa for the StartupRad.io skill as well.